Right, how are you doing?
Another weekend of football.
Another weekend of controversy.
I'm enjoying it so far.
I am. There's much to discuss. But how was your weekend as a whole?
A lot of cricket, mate. And it was really, really exciting. Yeah. Did you see that spell by Archer against Smith?
Well, oh yeah, he got hit in the helmet.
And you see, got hit on the side of the neck, didn't he?
But then there was in the
his replacement.
Final, yeah. That looked even worse, where it sort of bounced up.
You could sort of see that split second in their face where they're like, "I've got no time here. I've got no time to do anything here." It's and you just got to sort of let the ball hit you. Obviously, you're not thinking like that. You're not thinking straight. But
Smith's been ruled out, hasn't he, now for Headingley?
Well, I'm not surprised because that's what concussion should be. It should officially be you can't do any sporting activity for 2 weeks.
I totally agree. It could be a massive
how he went out again was just daft.
Yeah, because he went out, didn't he? Someone else come in up the order, I can't remember who it was, and then he come back out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Could be a big moment in the Ashes series, though.
Huge, huge. I'm kind of tempted to go and tout it at Headingley.
This weekend?
Yeah.
No, I got my ticket for the first day of Old Trafford.
Jealous. I need to go. I might come and tout that.
Tout that day, yeah.
I'll come and join you.
The cricket will come back at some point because it will impact on my Chelsea-Leicester analysis.
Okay.
Well,
do you want to lead with your Chelsea-Leicester?
I might as well. Basically, I was just saying that I didn't really watch the game because I was watching the cricket. And I put it on as Leicester equalised, and then I put the iPad out and I put the iPad on quiet. So I was watching mainly the cricket, but then the iPad.
Mate, I feel like I had the exact same weekend as you.
Nice. Because I had no commentary on with the iPad.
Yeah.
It just looked like, I don't know, I watched a little bit of the pre-match for the Man United Wolves last night. Jamie Carragher compared it to like a basketball game.
Yeah.
And I can sort of, because when I was watching it, every time it looked like Chelsea attacked and then Leicester just broke through their midfield. There was like nobody there.
Yeah.
So that's basically the extent of my analysis. It just always looked like Leicester were ripping through them.
Well, to me, I only watched the first half because I had to go and see my dad in the second half. I thought Chelsea were impressive, like loads of energy, like young bustling forwards, putting pressure on the Leicester defence. I thought they looked pretty good, but it was kind of similar to what happened to them at United. You know, started well, good first half, but they just seemed to lack a bit of energy maybe in the second half.
I think this is the point that was made, their drop-off. They highlighted it last night, the drop-off that Chelsea are having in the second half is massive.
Yeah, it's alarming, isn't it?
And you think about how, not just how they fell away against Man United, but obviously conceding the 3 goals.
Well, I think it's new for them, isn't it? Because they...
No, it is, but as we
it's a new style to be playing on the front foot so much.
But we discussed sort of our pre-review show.
Yeah.
You know, if it doesn't click quickly, he's going to become under a lot of pressure.
But it feels like a good atmosphere there, doesn't it? Jeremy Clarkson said it's the best atmosphere he's known being a Chelsea fan since the 70s, so he's obviously happy. I had no idea he liked football.
I've
never heard him
Chelsea
talk about
fan.
Football, ever.
And I'm sorry, that's rubbish what he's just said. The best atmosphere since the 70s. Did he go missing from like 2003?
Well, I think he's trying to say like young players coming through the club, English players. You know what he's like. He likes Britain, doesn't he? British players. None of this foreign lot. That's what he's like though, isn't he? You watch an episode of Top Gear. Like anything that's not British, he slags it off.
Slags it off, yeah.
Apart from German cars, he likes that. I just found it weird because I remember him slagging off like Premiership footballers on Top Gear all the time, and I just thought he didn't like football. But yeah, suddenly the biggest Chelsea fan. He went in on a Twitter battle with James Maddison, called him out on his shit haircut.
He's got no right to really say that, Jeremy Clarkson.
Well, James Maddison went back at him, said, "Worry about your cars, mate. You're going thin on top."
Your new show on Amazon's rubbish.
It is bad. Yeah. I mean, I've only ever watched like one episode, but yeah, I didn't go back.
No, I've got no desire to either. So,
in his heyday, though, it was quite good Top Gear. The one where they made those water cars and went over the channel.
The Christmas ones were always very good. I remember there was one where they had to get from like France to London in like 24 hours or something.
Yeah.
That was very good.
Yeah, the races.
Yeah.
Then they just started to become caricatures of themselves, didn't they?
Yeah, I ruined it for everyone.
But it's good to see Leicester like staying in these games, you know, against the top six, because if they've got serious aspirations of getting there, they need to
get
something out of these games.
Yeah, youthful energy about Leicester, I'd say. Whether or not they can break the top six, I'm not so sure, but I like their kit, by the way.
The pink one?
Yeah, I quite liked it. It reminded me a little bit of Juve.
Yeah. United had a pink kit last year. I don't remember anyone liking that, though.
No, it's just... I thought it was quite nice. But yeah, they've got a lot of good players. And the guy that's come in, the defender, I can't pronounce his name, begins with an S. You know the guy I'm on about?
Oh, Soyuncu. Yeah. He was there last season.
He was there, because we got linked with him, actually, before Leicester bought him.
Right. Okay.
And
then you couldn't afford him.
All right, mate. But him, he looks quite strong. He's, like, fitted in quite nicely, I think, with Maguire going. He looks promising, I'd say.
Yeah.
And he was having a bit of a thing he had with Tammy Abraham. Bit of a disagreement or something.
I think they're a bit light up front, really.
Leicester? But
yeah, if Vardy's injured, then I don't really see too many goals in that side. Iheanacho is just... it doesn't do enough for me. I know City fans really rate him, but anyone could get goals in a City team, I think. A half-decent striker should get 10, 15 goals a season there, at least, shouldn't they?
In Man City, definitely, yeah, with the amount of supply that's on offer.
So I think he looks better than he actually is, you know, when he was a youngster there. I'm not saying, not doubting he can finish, and you know, he's all right, but I think his all-round play is still really, really raw. And
how old is he now?
He must be about 22 or something, but so still young, but I'm not convinced by him.
No, I agree. I think they've got a dynamic sort of edge to them, haven't they, Leicester, the way that they attack with a lot of pace. And I don't know if it was highlighted more with the fact that Chelsea had no midfield. I mean, it literally was like end to end.
Do you think the whole Kante and Jorginho thing is the new Gerrard and Lampard debate? Can they possibly play in the same team together?
Yeah, well, they're trying to shoehorn it together, aren't they? And I know it's the cliche thing to say, but it does seem stupid playing Kante last season out wide. Obviously, when.
The holding three.
You know, why not just pick your best team with the best players in the positions they need to be?
But that's what I mean, they're fighting over the same position, aren't they?
Oh, well, play Kante then.
Pretty simple, isn't it?
It is that simple.
Simples!
The weekend kicked off with Arsenal Burnley.
The mighty, solid as a rock.
I was going to say, like, I was kind of watching this game with the cricket on, with the iPad cricket. I think I sent you a screenshot of what's going on. Yeah. And so every time I cast my eyes, it just seemed to be panic in the Arsenal box with, like, high balls going in. But
I think it wasn't quite that. I think initially the first sort of 10, 15 minutes, there was definitely an adaption period that they needed to implement. I actually thought they dealt with everything, I mean, fairly well on the whole after that sort of tricky sort of opening. I liked David Luiz. He was organising well. He was speaking to players. I mean, did you see his ball across the face of goal after about...
Yeah, I did see that.
Christ.
Welcome to Luiz world.
but it worked. It paid off.
Luiz world.
I was impressed. I mean, you've got to understand there's a lot of new players coming into that team. They're going to need to find their way. And I thought in the first half there was a lot of ball because Burnley are there to create chaos. And I think they'll create chaos against, you know, rock solid defences. You know, that's the way they're built. They'll bombard you. And I just think that last season they probably would have wilted maybe under that kind of pressure, Arsenal.
No, I think you might have done. I think you played well overall. It just seemed to be happening continuously. There was no one player just get it out of this box. It seemed to take like two or three attempts to get it out of your box. But, you know, you kept them at bay, really. They weren't creating chances.
Yeah. They weren't creating like clear efforts on goal as a result. And the one thing, I mean, Maitland-Niles, I like Maitland-Niles. He's not a right back. And
no, he's not, is he?
So you have to take that rough with the smooth with him deputising until Bellerin's back. And I think sometimes he was just
when you talk about Burnley and balls in, it's about cutting off the supply. And at times he was giving a little bit too much space for the ball to come in.
Yeah.
It wasn't really happening on Monreal's flank. It was more Maitland-Niles' flank that it was happening on. I thought we were a little bit unfortunate with the goal. I thought we played some great stuff. And Danny Ceballos, I thought, was exceptional.
Yeah, he's silky, isn't he?
He's
silky smooth.
Really, really good.
Although McNeil did the ripping.
McNeil.
For Burnley. He ripped Ceballos on the wing.
When?
In the second half sometime.
No one cares about that. It was just a moment. Probably Ceballos got a call. And
it was the kind of thing that people remember. I bet people teased him about it in the dressing room. That's a classic, isn't it? So like when John O'Shea nutmegged Figo. Apparently all the Real Madrid players gave him shit for him. I mean, you would, wouldn't you?
You would.
I wrote down a couple of things about that game. Firstly, after 15 minutes, when Barnes scored, I completely forgot that it was Burnley. I thought it was Stoke.
I mean,
they're pretty much the same, aren't they?
They are the new version of Stoke. They're horrible.
Well, they bought Eric Peters. I think that's why I got a bit confused. And they had Barnes. I was like, oh, right, it's Burnley.
Do you know what one of the big things is about... I'm going to have a little bit of a, not a rant as such, but I am going to come on to Sean Dyche's comments about diving. Right, we weren't diving. It's ridiculous what he's saying. And then he goes, this isn't aimed at the Arsenal. I was like, but let's just say, for argument's sake, Arsenal were diving, yeah? And we're breaking the rules by diving. His players, the amount of times there was a knee in the back when a ball was up, Ashley Barnes being a very big culprit of this. You can't knee someone in the back when a ball's in the air. He turns a blind eye at that, doesn't he? There was a chant there right at the end, it was about 5 minutes ago, a ball comes through, I hate Stoke, mate. So I know you're looking at me like this, and Burnley are just Stoke.
I'm just telling you, don't get wound up by him. He knows what he's doing.
You know what he's doing, isn't he? Oh, he does wind me up, you're right, he does. And the fact that...
I bet he said it's foreign players as well, didn't he?
Probably. We don't know that, but we can't actually say. He's been very vague in what he said. But there was a ball through, and Lucas Torreira sort of shields it back to Leno. And I think it was Lowton, just like shoves him over Leno as Leno's getting the ball. No need to do it. It's snide. You know, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And there was a bit at the end. Ashley Barnes, I think he clashed with Kolasinac. Kolasinac went down. Ashley Barnes was moaning. He got booked for it. Replay showed, you have fouled, mate. You've actually cost your team a fairly, you know, potentially good opportunity to cause us some trouble. And it made me laugh out loud because I really hate Ashley Barnes.
We talked last week. Yeah. Well, I think your message is loud and clear to Dyche, so hopefully he gets it.
I'm sure he's listening.
I thought Luis changed a dynamic for you early on when his through balls and stuff. I've not seen Arsenal play sort of long balls that consistently, and that it's a good... offers a different side of your player.
No, it does. And I think, you know, the long balls from Arsenal have always come from, like, Granit Xhaka's sort of range of passing.
Yeah.
And now that we've almost got Luis as the option, you can sort of bypass Xhaka.
Yeah.
And I thought the midfield three were exceptional. I thought Guendouzi, Willock and Ceballos really worked well together. There's obviously a rawness there. They need to continue playing together. But there's a lot of potential. You got a little glimpse of what your midfield could look like going forward as well into the future beyond this season. I know Ceballos is only on loan, but that type of model of those three type of players.
Yeah. I guess a measure now of how far you've progressed in the season is Saturday against Liverpool, you at Anfield.
Yeah.
Big one.
So it's one of those where there's a lot of excitement around Arsenal, but there's also, you know, the reservation. But we are not watertight at the back. We are shaky. There's a lot to like though in terms of our midfield and going forward, and there's improvement defensively in the opening two games. Listen, it's a game that's going to get either Arsenal fans really, really excited or bring everybody right back down to earth.
Yeah,
I think they could go and cause Liverpool problems on Saturday. I think they have the potential to do that. I can see us conceding at least two though, and that's, you know, best case scenario, I'd say.
Prediction?
2-2.
2-2.
Yeah.
Bold.
That's a bold statement.
Should we talk about more Vasco plot lines? Man City Spurs 2-2. So
ridiculous.
I find, you know, we talked about this last week about being in the moment and conditional kind of celebrations and stuff. But it's like all that happened and it's 3-2 and like, okay, City have won again. They seem to win like this. It's annoying. And you're sort of going through all these thoughts, like registering that City have won again. Do you know what I mean? And you get used to the idea. And suddenly you just have to completely forget all about that because the whole result has changed. You've seen the outcome of what it would have been like, what it would have felt like for City to have won that game. Everyone in that stadium did. So you actually saw a glimpse of how it would have felt, but then you're just told to feel something completely different because of the change in decision. It's like this outpouring of emotion and you just got to suck it all back in. It feels odd.
No, I don't like it. I don't like VAR.
No.
I don't like it because they say it's got to be clear and obvious. How is that clear and obvious, what's happened at the weekend?
Yeah, it's daft, isn't right. it?
And one thing, one of the Arse blog, Arse cast that I listened to yesterday, James on that said, it's actually, VAR at the moment is actually highlighting how ridiculous some of our rules are. Because if that's a handball, but if it was defensive handball, it wouldn't be counted as a penalty. It's ridiculous.
I mean,
they say, don't they, defensively, that type of contact isn't a penalty, but offensively, it is a disallowed goal.
Because it leads to Jesus's path.
But the one thing that you've got to just highlight above all of anything of this, not one Spurs player appealed.
Yeah.
Hugo Lloris is like laughing in disbelief. Yeah. It's a farce at the moment. That's the only thing that the VAR is appropriate for at the moment, is the VAR farce.
I feel like there's this attitude, though. It's like the referees are a bit like, well, this is what you wanted. You asked for it. And it's like, no, we wanted fairness, like in outrageously bad decisions, like a penalty that just definitely wasn't a penalty. Not this. This is your interpretation of like just getting every little minutest detail right. It's just, no, it just doesn't work.
Doesn't work. It's ridiculous. And I'm not a fan.
No,
I'm not a fan
either. I'll tell you what I am a fan of, though.
Go on.
De Bruyne's crosses.
Oh, fantastic. He's a player, isn't he?
Just the way he can just snap first-time balls, like, just pinpoint as well, finds his men most of the time.
It's
those low crosses, like, they're amazing. Gary Neville was saying they're like passes, not crosses, because they're so accurate.
Yeah, they made a big thing of it last night, didn't they? They're comparing it, and
he's going to make a big difference this season.
He is. And
not that they need it, City.
That's the 3 points they didn't get last year.
Yeah. Well, they've dropped 2 points now. Does that mean that Liverpool are going to win the league because they'll win every game from now on?
No, is
that the title race over?
Drawing 2-2 on Saturday.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. All right, they'll be joint on points then.
There was something else about VAR I was going to say, but I can't remember. I'm so outraged, I can't remember it. But there was something else VAR related.
But the thing is that Michael Oliver was just saying, he was like, it wasn't anything to do with his decision, was it? I thought it was about the referee making the final call, and then you just point in clear and obvious areas for the referee and guidance, but then he still makes the final call. That's been taken away, hasn't it? Because it was taking too long for the referee to go over to the side of the pitch and watch a screen.
Yeah.
So you've just got people completely removed from the game, and wherever they are in this bloody office in London, just making the decision because it's hit something. It's just...
I remember what I was going to say. But offside. Because there's that thing now, do you put your flag up, don't you put your flag up?
Yeah.
There's times where they're not putting the flags up, but then there's times where it's really close, they are putting the flags up, and you're going, well, with the new VAR thing, shouldn't you be keeping your flag down in that situation? And you're absolutely right. People are making these decisions completely removed from the situation. But I'm not a fan of it.
No. Oh, I think that's very clearly expressed. City look. Really good though, don't they? And I don't know how Spurs ended up with a point there.
But it's ridiculous, Spurs getting that point.
Yeah.
It really is ridiculous. I don't know how they've got it. I mean, they are. I'm hoping they're using all their luck up at the moment.
What did you think about Aguero and Guardiola having a little public falling out and then reconciliation?
And then it got disallowed.
Yeah.
It's understandable to be annoyed at coming off, but, you know, that is modern football. Everyone's got these squads. Yeah.
But City look dangerous.
They do. I mean, you come out of that game, despite them dropping points, thinking, Christ, they look good.
I know, I'm just not looking forward to United playing at the Etihad. It's just not going to be fun.
No, or Arsenal.
Let's have some fun. It's football day.
Newcastle. Pookie.
Pookie!
Yeah, no, what absolute smash. Jeremy Goss volleyed the...
yeah, the commentator.
That brought him back. I reckon a lot of people like... A lot of young'uns are like, who the hell is Jeremy Goss?
Do you remember watching, it was the Bayern Munich game, and it was on really late, it was like 9:30 at night on the BBC, and Jeremy Goss's volley.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Because he just scored an absolute belter at Leeds, hadn't he? Which was like goal of the season.
And they got knocked out by Inter Milan in the next leg.
Yeah.
Next round, sorry.
I didn't know the score at all, so that was kind of fun watching Match of the Day. I saw a few, yeah, really good fun. It's hard to do, though, these days. Yeah. You have to just switch off. And just when you think you got it, you see someone on your WhatsApp go, oh, good result for Norwich. You're like, oh, fuck's sake. Kind of knew they probably won. But I was just like going, Pookie, yeah. No, he's decent, but he's definitely just one-footed. Like, he was taking all his shots on his right, and then he scored his third on his left. I was like, okay.
There's four goals now this season.
Not doing bad, is he?
That's, you know, I might take back what I said about Norwich.
I think everyone's going to get him in their fantasy team now, aren't they? I've not done fantasy football. I can't deal with the maintenance now.
No,
I've
and
all these things
team,
like with subs and captains and stuff, like, what's
that
all about?
Triple captain, bench play or something like that.
It's the modern way. Like, have you ever tried to play Ultimate Team on FIFA? Foot?
No.
It's so complicated. I don't know what's going on. Young people's brains, like... They just understand these things. I was like going in, I'd like, why is Ruud Gullit in my squad? He just turns up for two games. Well, explain it. I didn't really understand what was
going
on.
So why is Ruud Gullit in your team?
I don't know. Went, Ruud Gullit's in your team. But only, and then I played two games, then he'd gone.
Is this Ruud Gullit now or Ruud Gullit then?
Ruud Gullit then. Mate, it's bizarre.
That is bizarre.
I didn't really know what was going on. Anyway, I dived out of it. But so, I think young people get it.
What's the thing with the, you know, that you get the match cards?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it's that. Packs. Yeah. It went into this thing of like, get these packs, swap and trade with people, get some coins,
do you know,
change your kit.
What's wrong with Sabuto?
Here we are at the Sabuto Stadium. Here come the teams. It's England versus Brazil. England kick off. A beautiful ball, and there's a quick breakaway. England shoot, what a save, and it's a corner. England take the kick, it's pushed away, it's a goal! So it's 1-0 to England.
Play the world's greatest sport with Sabuto.
I was saying to Dave yesterday that Steve Bruce is a bit of a dinosaur. And I think in his sort of tactics and the way, even the stuff he was saying in his post-match interview, just like, really sort of cliched stuff. Oh yeah, we need to work hard, we need to get together, you know, no like proper analysis of what's going wrong really. It made me think that like Daniel Farke, he came across like as a smart manager, you know, like smartphones, smart motorways, and I was saying this today.
Smart motorways.
And then Dave said, well, that would make Steve Bruce a cobbled road. I was quite like that. I was like, well, I'll put that in the podcast.
Hey, that's a good analogy actually.
Yeah.
Great result, though, for Norwich.
Yeah, really good.
Fantastic. I mean, Newcastle did look a mess.
Yeah.
You have to say that. And
Hoylinton should have scored a header, but apart from that, I didn't really see though. He looked completely blunt up front.
Do you think with Newcastle, it's got that feeling, especially with Bruce in charge, that they're going to get to, like, December, they're going to sack him, they're going to bring someone else shit in, and they're just going to fizzle out and go down.
Yeah. Choking
Yeah, exactly that type of thing.
Allardyce. He said he got offered it, didn't he, Allardyce? And he
turned it down.
He turned it down, yeah.
Right, Sam Allardyce could have taken on any team in the world.
I think they're in trouble, Newcastle.
Big time.
Trouble, bent dog in my soul since the day I was born. Worry, worry.
Everton, Watford.
1-0
this.
1-0. I'm trying to think. So it's a really early goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, Bernard.
Bernard, yeah.
I was scratching my head going, he reminds me someone, Bernard. And I was like, what is it? Then suddenly, light bulb moment. And I went, Warwick Davis.
I don't know what to say to that one.
You don't need to say anything, really.
Hang on, I just want to get it up on the phone. Bernard Everton. I know what you mean, yeah. It's the...
Well, I know these little, small, little pixie man.
It's in the face, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was just scurrying around. I was like, oh, he's like little Warren Avery sitting on the pitch.
Definitely, yeah.
Yep. Willow.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember much about the game.
Well,
Watford came into it second half, didn't they?
They look in bad situation, a bit like Newcastle, bad start.
Another clean sheet for Everton, though. They've conceded hardly any goals.
Well, they had that real big problem with like set pieces last year, didn't they? That most Marco Silva's teams always conceded from set pieces, and he seems to have done a lot of work for that. I find him so uninteresting, Marco Silva, though.
Yeah, like I know what you mean.
Interviews and stuff. Give me Daniel Farke any day of the week. One thing about that game, I thought it's worth noting out. First time that we've seen Moise Kean, however you want to pronounce it.
And he had a good chance, didn't he? He went through.
Yeah, he looks lively. And, yeah. And I think that's a great signing, though.
For 30 million, it's about 30 million, something like that. I don't think that's a bad bit of business. For instance, if in a couple of years they go to sell him or a team will come in, they're not going to lose money on him, I wouldn't have thought.
No, oh, definitely not. So, no, I think it's a smart bit of business. I can't believe Juve let him go. Should we move on to last night's game?
Yeah. I don't want to bring up VAR again, but VAR was doing me head in last night as well with the equalising goal.
Oh, because when did you see all the like graphical stuff like moving around? It was like, if we just move this enough, we can get this goal disallowed. Like, that's what it looked like. It looked like some guy's trying to manipulate it.
Hang on, it'll be offside in a minute. There you go. I don't like. We've talked about VAR enough, so I'm not going to go on about it. But it was one of them.
Well, do you remember when in the early stages when it was in the FA Cup? Do you remember when United were playing against Wigan or something? And they showed the lines and they were like squiggly, wonky lines. Do you remember? Well, at least they seem to have ironed that out. Like, they've got rulers now. They've like made them straight.
They found some graph paper. So we'll come at this. Well, we'll start again because I jumped right into the equaliser. What did you think then last night? Because I thought first half, you played very, very well.
Yeah, I was initially a little bit nervous. Going into this game, it was good to see Pereira dropped, I thought. That was a good move. He was obviously going with pure pace for Daniel James. Daniel James is very, very raw, but he offers something different, direct run in. Like he will keep going, you know, even if he'll lose the ball a couple of times. He's an outlet for you as well.
Do you know what impressed me about James there? It was the way he worked back.
Yeah.
When he lost the ball.
Well, that's what I mean. He's just so bloody pleased to be there. Like, he's going to work tirelessly for you. And we need a bit of that in our squad. Because when you've got players like Pogba and Martial and, well, Matic, who maybe the heart's in the right place, but the legs aren't. It's just, you feel safer. And obviously we felt a lot safer now with Maguire and Lindelof at the back as well. Just balls going into the box and you're just not as worried anymore. And it felt so nice knowing that Phil Jones and Smalling couldn't even get onto the pitch last night because they weren't even in the squad. A friend of mine was saying, are they watching it together, do you think? Well, I don't think if they live together, they live next door to each other, surely.
Is that true? Or is that
no, I'm just saying they probably do, don't they? They go hand in hand. You can't say Chris Smalling without saying Phil Jones, can you? Try it.
Smalling. And Jones.
Yeah, you're right. Chris Smalling, Phil Jones.
I'm Chris Smalling.
And I'm Phil Jones.
Do you know, I saw Chris Smalling once in Zouk.
Well, he's a vegan, isn't he, Smalling?
Is he?
Yeah. Well, my mate's a head chef at a vegetarian restaurant, and he came in a lot, I think. Maybe not vegan, maybe just vegetarian.
Okay.
Nice. He's big on the vegan scene, though, in Manchester. Like, any vegan festival, he's there, head up front of the queue. I thought Shaw had a better game for us as well. Looks pretty good going forward. It's still a bit ropey at the back.
He's what I'd say about, because we talked last week about how out of shape he was, Smalling.
I'm Chris Smalling.
And he's not Smalling, what am I on about?
And I'm Phil Jones.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
And he still does look out of shape, but he looked quick last night.
He's a weird one, isn't he? He's a weird one to analyse, because when you look at him, his shape and his athleticism, you're like, you can't, surely he can't be quick, but he is. He's just an odd thing to look at sometimes. But Wolves, you know, had a much better second half. I thought the introduction of Traore, like,
it caused a lot of problems.
A lot of problems. Yeah. That's why Shaw was a bit ropey defensively in the second half and got a bit found out.
Because he was causing a lot of problems down that flank, and he changed the game, you've got to say, because, you know, you did have him press back in the first half, and they were able to sort of bring themselves back into it and sort of defend higher up the pitch second half.
Yeah,
it was a lot more played in United's half for periods of it anyway.
Yeah, I thought it was a really just cracking game to watch.
It was a good game.
We would have wilted last season. We would have lost that game, and then, you know, to have the chance to win it, Pogba does really well to win the penalty, and then don't know. It's just my way of thinking is the guy scored last week a penalty. Just give it him and let him take it. It's just don't do a rotation system. It's just daft. And like Gary Neville had the minor meltdown on Sky, just going, you know, that it's just really bad. It's showcasing a really bad side of, like, the team and the club when you're sort of having these discussions and arguments on the pitch of who's going to take something. Just sort it out beforehand. I do agree with him, but...
No, I agree with him. And the thing is, I mean, Solskjaer came out and said, didn't he, that they're both the designated penalty takers.
Also, Solskjaer, like, he's too nice. Can you imagine Solskjaer criticising anyone? He's too lovely, isn't he? He's just got a lovely little face. I mean, he doesn't seem to like Sanchez.
He's going to Inter Milan, isn't he?
Yeah, it looks like that way.
That's a good move.
I think so. It's quite funny because when he lists our strikers, he always forgets to mention Sanchez.
But he said, didn't he? Goes, oh, he's going to play more than you think.
Yeah.
But just somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't say that bit, did I? Little joke for you.
But I thought the two goals last night were incredible finishes. I thought Martial's goal was outstanding.
Yeah, it was beautiful. What a finish.
And I do think Rashford was looking for Martial. I don't think he was looking for
as well. Yeah.
I think that was a really good goal.
One player that I'm really not sure about at the moment is Lingard. He's not really producing anything. He had a really good chance on his right foot and he just completely miskicked it. He's just a weird player because it's like, what are you bringing to the team?
That was at 1-0 as well, wasn't it? Where he miskicked it.
I think. But Solskjaer seems to like him because of his running and endeavour and his attitude and stuff. And that's fair enough, really. Maybe you need someone like that in your team. But if you look at his numbers, there's a thing going around on Twitter at the moment about, you know, that I think it might be in Brassai, but Steve Coogan plays this security guard going,
in 1982, no one died. In 1983, no one died. In 1986, someone died. In 1987.
And it's got this of for Lingard. Did Lingard score or assist a PL goal? May 2018, no. August 2018, no. September 2018, no. October 2018, no. November 2018, no. December 2018, yes. 4 goals, 2 assists. January, no. February, no. March, no. April, no. May, no. August, no. So, what are you doing, Jesse? What are you bringing to the table, mate? Running around? I could go on and run around. Obviously not for 90 minutes. I'll give you 10.
5. I'll go 5.
Yep, mate, you do running.
Yeah, it's totally different when you play football. Really, I thought, because I started playing football again, I thought I'll be fine because I'd be running. 5 hours blowing after
short sprints. You don't like?
Yeah, I don't like it. But I'm trying to persevere.
I'm the opposite. I like the short sprints and hate running.
What does he bring to the team? He likes to dance though when you score, doesn't he? Maybe that's what it is.
What's that?
He likes to dance when you score. He's got his little celebration.
Oh yeah, well you know, he's got all his social media career going on as well. Yeah, don't worry about that. So
is it, you know,
Jay Lins and Beans.
I have no idea what you're on about.
Beans is Rashford's nickname.
I'm too old for this.
I'm a pool supervisor, the night supervisor. I basically watch the monitors at night, see if anything occurs. This pool's been open nearly 40 years. In 1975, no one died. In 1976, no one died. In 1977, no one died. In 1978, no one died. In 1979, no one died. In 1980, someone died. In 1981, no one died. In 1982, there was the incident with a pigeon. In 1983, no one died. In 1984, no one died. In 1985, no one died. In 1986, I mean, I could go on.
Yeah. Do you know what, though? I'm just glad we got out of there and we didn't
lose.
Obviously, it would have been great to get the win, but if we just sort of keep some momentum up, just keep unbeaten for a while. We got an easy game on Saturday against Palace, all being well.
At home.
And I just hope we just don't have a demoralising defeat, you know, away at one of the big boys, and that can really set you back in a season, can't it? I think it happened with you last year, I think, when you lost heavily away to Anfield, and I think that sort of kick-started your poor run of away form. I think, our players are pretty fragile, like, and that's why I think Maguire is a massive signing for us, because hopefully he can address some of that and be a character on the pitch and leader on the pitch.
I thought he played well again last night, yeah. Maguire.
No, he looked good.
He had a few little moments, but nothing untoward that's going to be any much of a worry. The equalising goal was special, though.
Oh, yeah. That was a peach.
Yeah.
I actually wanted it to be allowed. Like, if they were going to disallow it for that, exactly. I was like, I'd rather it just was allowed, because that's just ridiculous.
It was an unbelievable strike.
Someone's arm is offside. What was the arm offside? I don't care. Let's not even talk about it.
We've VAR'd it up.
I'm fired out.
One thing that I did notice last night, I'm going to talk about the Wolves fans. They created and generated a fantastic atmosphere. I thought it was brilliant. And then there was a bit, it was around about 70 minutes, the whole ground just went quiet. Do you reckon they just knackered themselves out? Because it was an unbelievable atmosphere. It was like electric. And it just got to a point where I think they must have all just been knackered.
Really?
It just felt like it went really quiet.
I remember...
For like 5 minutes, and then it sort of started ramping up again near the end.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't notice that. Maybe I'll go back and watch a bit of the highlights and see. They probably were just knackered. They do get themselves in a bit of a frenzy.
Oh, it was the atmosphere was incredible.
I remember when Guardiola criticised the atmosphere at the Etihad on New Year's Day, and I was like, it was like a 12 o'clock kickoff. I was like, give them a break. Do you know what I mean? Like,
these lot got in like 3 hours ago.
Yeah, surprise. Like, just give them a bit of credit that they made it, let alone make some fucking atmosphere. Atmospheres at grounds are quite weird now, because a lot of the kind of bigger clubs, the noise will only be generated by the players doing good things.
Mm.
It's kind of that way around. But sort of the smaller teams, like the teams that have come up and really enjoying the Premier League, like Stoke in recent years, and
like Sheffield United,
yeah. Wolves, Leicester, you know, they're just all about like,
creating the atmosphere to
motivate the players. It's like it operates in a different kind of linear direction.
Yeah, totally agree with you. I totally agree, because it makes these games difficult, doesn't it? It makes them hard to negotiate as a team when you come in. And as I said, I think it was a good point for you last night. Admittedly, you should have won the game. I think the way you played first half and missing a penalty. But it's a tough place to go, Wolves, and it's a big atmosphere.
There'll be other top six teams, I think, that will that will lose points there.
Yeah, over the season.
Just a couple of other games to nod to, I think.
Villa Bournemouth.
Yeah.
I just remember it because they gave the penalty away first minute.
Tom Heaton, that signing of the season. Yeah. That's safe pair of hands, not legs though.
I said he's a good keeper. But they gave it a go though, second half, Villa, it looked like on the telly.
Yeah, they bought some Brazilian guy from City, he scored a nice goal, but he's a defensive midfielder and I think he was a bit ropey in the first half. Harry Wilson scored, didn't he? He's on loan from Liverpool. He's got a bit of a left foot on him. Another young English player playing well. We didn't mention in the Chelsea game, but Mason Mount played really well in that first half as
well. Yeah, hassled for the goal, didn't he?
Yeah, it was fantastic, but he seemed to exude confidence, and that's difficult, you know, as a 19-year-old at Chelsea. But I think he's got that confidence because he played under Lampard last season and who he believes in. But things are looking good for England. Some really good young players coming through.
I was going to say, I mean, I don't want to think, but Joe Willock at Arsenal, I think, is a really exciting prospect.
It's a generation coming through. These players watched amazing foreign players playing in the Premier League. You can sort of see it in the way that they play. There's a feels different. About them, isn't it there? Feels modern. Do you know what I mean? The modern footballers. Brighton won. Potter. Was it 1-0?
1-0. Against they had a West goal disallowed, I think.
Hernandez scored, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that goal for disallowed, that was another one of those gutting moments where the whole crowd just think it's an amazing goal. It was a great volley as well. And sorry.
Because the thing is, I knew that game was 1-1 and I was watching it and that went in on the highlights. And I think it even flicked to 2-1, didn't it, on the thing? On the screen. And I was like, have I got this wrong? Have I right one? And then this line is all right, okay.
But he looked good, that Trossard guy. I'm glad he got his goal in the end. The young Belgium guy.
Yeah, and the Brighton, nice little start to the season for him.
Not bad, eh?
Yeah.
Good start also for Sheffield United.
Yeah.
You tipped them to beat Palace. Palace were awful in that game.
Didn't see it. I'll be honest with you, I was watching cricket.
I just kind of had it on in the background. But yeah, they look good, Sheffield United.
Well, I love their fans at Bournemouth the week before. And I think Bramall Lane's going to be a tough place to go. So they'll, again, talking about atmospheres, they're going to generate a good atmosphere there.
Last thing about Brighton West Ham, I made a note that Pellegrini and his assistant look really, really old.
They do. They do. They look like they've been smoking for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got that crinkled look, haven't they? The old smoky, crinkled face. Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice. 'Cause I speak of the pompousness of love. People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry. 'Cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. Get my lovin' on the run. Ooh. Ooh. Shall I look at the fixtures for the weekend? Go on, list them.
It's very quickly. So we start with Friday night football, Villa Everton.
Good, I'm looking forward to that.
Yep. Then we've got Norwich Chelsea. I will miss that. I'm going to the cinema.
I'm planning a whole weekend in front of the telly watching sport. I can't bloody wait. Holly's going to Croatia on a hen do. So I've got a house to myself.
Happy days then, isn't it? Third test, football.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Although then you do that thing where you don't do anything all weekend and you're like, oh, I should have done something.
You're knackered, your back hurts, you can't sleep.
Not had any fresh air for a while.
Brighton, Southampton, that's a big game. Southampton lose. Because we didn't talk about Liverpool, Southampton.
Oh, yeah. So it was, well, they won.
Yeah, it was 2-1 Liverpool. And Southampton, I think if they don't win that, they're going to be in a bit of trouble. Palace, Man United at Old Trafford, Sheffield United, Leicester, that should be a good game. Watford, West Ham, interesting. Liverpool, Arsenal, we talked about. And on the Sunday, we have Bournemouth City, Spurs, Newcastle, I'm not watching that. And then Wolves, Burnley.
Yeah, some decent games. Be interesting.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking forward to it. It's a bit, I've really enjoyed the beginning of the season, actually. Even the smaller teams that are playing just seem quite interesting this year. There seems to be stories around everywhere, and it's quite, I don't know, it got to a point much of the day, like maybe a year ago, a couple of years ago, where it was just like, coming up, West Brom v Stoke. Do you know what I mean? You're just like, I'm going to bed.
I see you're going to be 0-0 or 1-1 or 1-0 either way. Do you know what?
I think it's the managers. I think we've got, all those old stalwart managers. They're just not in the Premier League anymore playing crap football. Pulis, Allardyce, Pardew.
Apart from Sean Dyche.
Mark Hughes.
Yeah.
You've still got Steve Bruce, Sean Dyche clinging on. But do you know what I mean? They just seem more progressive, younger, dynamic managers. That
teams now want to play with energy, don't they?
Yeah.
And they want to play from the back, and they want to do that high press. And it's exciting. It's exciting.
And I think there's that kind of like empathy from the fans that they would rather go down playing like that way than just be like grinding out, like trying to hang on for dear lives, for draws and things.
Imagine having a season ticket at Stoke. It'd be horrible.
It would be horrible. Right, finally, distractions.
Distractions. What,
I mean, what, have you got a name for this feature yet?
Distraction of the week.
Right, okay. Nice.
By the way, I've watched the first episode of Chasing the Moon.
Yeah,
very good.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very interesting because all the Americans, when Sputnik went up, were thinking that this was going to be some sort of attack.
Yeah, of course.
And very, very good. So I'm going to watch episode 2. But it's very interesting, though. So it was a very good recommendation last week.
Thank you. So we got criticised by one of our listeners.
Did we?
Who said, I didn't like the advert that you put in at the end. I was like, what advert? And he was like, oh, for that game.
Tricky Towers.
And I was like, well, it wasn't an advert. I was just talking about it. I mean, I talk about FIFA or something like that. And I went, how many listeners do you think we have that Tricky Towers would want to come and sponsor us? But I just want to say that the Short Corner podcast is brought to you by Tricky Towers. So thank you for your continued support.
Chris and Jez drink Sprunt. So have you got a distraction for the week? My one's going to be simply because...
Mine was... We've kind of already talked about it.
The Ashes.
It's the Ashes, yeah.
I think mine was either going to be the Ashes or... I'm doing it the wrong way around because I'm going to go see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood on Saturday, lunchtime.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go straight from the cinema to watch Liverpool-Arsenal.
Have you ever done a thing at a cinema where you go in for one film and just sneak into another?
No.
I've always wanted to do that.
No, mate, it's against the code of conduct, that.
Oh.
It's a code violation.
Oh, gee, you're giving me a stern look here. I just feel like it would be quite good fun to just spend the whole day there, just going from film to film, just getting a refill of popcorn. Your mouth would be so dry by the end of the day.
You'd just be full of air as well, wouldn't
just
you?
Just salt. You'd be 90% salt. Well, if you get salted popcorn, of course. I'll tell you what not to go and see.
Go on.
Don't think it's a cinema film. A Current War.
I've heard very mixed things about that. I've heard it's quite underwhelming.
So... my mum and dad went on Sunday. Well, they invited us around for dinner. Yeah, very good cast. Invited us around for dinner, and then we went to the cinema. So, like, oh, do you want to come to Savoy? You know, that boutique cinema in Heaton Moor. Have you been?
I've been past it.
Yeah, it's very nice. And she was like, oh, great, yeah, you want to come? I was like, yeah, that sounds lovely. She went, all right, I'll book the tickets. And I was like, oh, brilliant, that's really generous of you. So we had dinner, and then we drove up to the cinema. And she got her tickets. She went, oh, yeah, I didn't pay for your tickets. You're getting them. And I was like, oh, all right, no problem. Got two tickets for me and Holly. and a couple of drinks and 25 quid.
The two tickets and two drinks.
You know what, you're just like, ah, oh, I thought I was having a cheap night tonight. Dinner around at mum dad's and I thought they'd shouted us the cinema. But, you know, when you just whack your card down and go, oh, fuck's sake. And then the film was shit. Well, it was all right. It was all right. It was fine.
Drive home really underwhelmed, disappointed.
Yeah, 30 quid lighter. So, yeah, maybe don't go and see that.
No, I'm not going to go see it.
No.
Current war. What I will say is, though, I'm not here next week because I'm going away. So we'll have to pick up the 2nd, 3rd of September. So there'll be 2 weeks of worth to catch up on.
Well, yeah, a lot of distractions, maybe.
Yeah, it's Arsenal Tottenham. Got a ticket for it.
Great. Enjoy. No, that's brilliant. Sorry, that sounded insincere. I am actually really pleased for you. Yeah. Right, I think we should leave it there. Strange end to the podcast. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Enjoy your holiday.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for listening.
Enjoy the Ashes.
Bye-bye.
Glad it is glowing.